she spent her money here and there, oh, till she had no more to spare. Oh, the doctors, they done all they could. Their medicine would do no good. Oh, when she touched him, Savior didn't see. Still, he turned around and cried, "Somebody touch me." She said, "It was I, just want to touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole." She cried, "Oh, oh, my Lord, oh, great God, oh, my Lord, oh, said if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made." She cried, "Oh, oh, my Lord, oh, great God, oh, my Lord, oh, said if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made, I'll be made whole." Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God but by me." This lets me know that Jesus is unique. He's one of a kind. He is unique in incarnation. He is the only God-man. He was God manifested in the flesh. He is unique in atonement, for he alone has died for the sins of the world. And he alone is unique in resurrection, for he alone has been raised from the dead, never to die again. He stood on resurrection ground with the keys of death and hell swinging around his waist, and said, "I am he that once was dead, but great God Almighty, I'm alive forevermore." Aren't you glad about that? And that's why everything ought to have breath. If you breathe, and you ought to be praising the Lord, because he's worthy to be praised. And let me also say, we're happy to see my sister. Yeah, she's been on the sick list too. Yeah, but she ain't been on the shut-in list. But we are glad that she's present and she's feeling better. Amen. And we want to continue to pray for Sister Marilyn, that she'll continue to pray, and pray for Earl, because he's a nurse and a cook and all that. So y'all pray for him, yeah? Amen. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the 16th chapter of Luke, read so beautifully by Brother Wyatt. And I want to look at the 8th verse. I'm going to ask you to read this 8th verse after me. Verse number 8. Luke 16, verse number 8. If you have it, say amen. Amen. "And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." Using that text, I want to share the subject. Would you repeat this subject after me? Looking for life lessons in strange places. Looking for life lessons in strange places. I want to thank the people of God for reading the Word of God in the house of God. Jesus Christ was and is a unique teacher, because never spake man like this man. The people were astounded and astonished by his doctrine, for he spake as one having authority and not as the scribes. And Jesus says, they that are of truth hears my voice. If you are of truth, then you hear the voice of Jesus. Now everybody is not of truth. And as a result, some people exchange the truth of God into a lie. Yeah. Everybody is not of truth, and some people receive not the love of the truth. And as a result, they are given the strong delusion. Yes, sir. Everybody is not of truth. Some people will not buy the truth. As Jack Nicholson says, some people can't handle the truth. There's a such thing as the inconvenient truth. All right. There's something as the pain for truth. Truth is powerful. Sometimes we hear people say, speaking truth to power. And some people will look truth right in the eye and will go the other way. Some people don't want you to tell them the truth. But if you are of truth, you must hear the voice of Jesus Christ in this parable. Because in this parabolic teaching, the word parable comes from the Greek word parabolein, which literally means to throw beside. It explains heavenly concepts by using something that we are familiar with. Yeah. And in this parable, if you are of truth, you will hear the voice of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, what are life's lessons? Life lessons, or lessons, or messages, or truth about life. And we all need life lessons. I hope we're not living, and not learning life's lessons. Right. Amen. Life lessons teaches me the truth about life. Because a lot of people are living, don't know the truth about life. Life lessons teach me the truth about my life. Amen. Life lessons teach me the truth about God. Life lessons teach me the truth about other people. You don't live in this world by yourself. No man lives unto himself. No man dies unto himself. And we can learn life lessons in some strange places. In this lesson today, Jesus is going to use a crook, a dishonest man, a cheater, a beater, a swindler, a hustler, and teach us some life lessons. Did you know you can learn some life lessons from crooked folks? Did you know you can learn some about life from cheaters? And con men and flim-flam artists? And pigeon drop specialists? Is that all right? So Jesus is using a parable, parabolein, to throw beside, to open our understanding that we might understand life. Well, learning is very important in life. As you live, you got to learn. Amen. Amen. As you live, you gotta learn. I just got the sad news this week. I think Cookie texts Brooke, and Brooke texts me. Told me that Bluebell, Lord have mercy. What am I gonna do now? I'll tell you what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna buy bras. That's what I'm gonna do. Is that all right? Amen. So you have to learn. Me and Brother Earl was talking about it this morning. So you have to learn life's lesson. The Word of God says some people are always learning, but they are never coming into the knowledge of the truth. Always learning, but never learning the knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, learn of me. You will find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So learning is an important part of life. We got to learn. If you don't learn the lessons, you cannot pass the test. Now, three things I want you to see in this lesson. Number one, I want you to see what is a steward. What is a steward? The second thing I want you to see is what he could not do, what he would not do, and what he did. I want you to get that. That's very important. What he could not do, what he would not do, and what he did. And finally, I want you to see, I want to share some life lessons that are derived, extracted from this text. Now, what is a steward? A steward in biblical times was a manager. He was one who was entrusted with the goods of a household. He ran a household. He ran a business, as it were. So this man was working for a certain rich man. He was in his employ. And the news got out. The word got out that he was cheating, that he was stealing, he was defrauding his master. Well, the master called him into account. And you know, all of us one day are going to have to give an account of how we've lived. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So he had a job and he wasn't doing the job right. Word got out. And let me tell you something. Let me just say this. Do all you can to protect your good name. Hello? You can't afford to let somebody ruin your good name. You can't take actions that may jeopardize your good name. So be very protective of your good name. Be very protective of your reputation. Well, word got out that this man was stealing. He was wasting his goods, and he called him in. He called him into account and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be steward no longer. You know, everything doesn't remain the same. Things change. You change. People change. Life changes. Is that right? Well, he had a job, but he was stealing. He was defrauding his master, and he called him into account. Well, the second point is what he could not do, what he would not do, and what he did. Well, I want you to look at his thought life. Look at verse 3 if you have your text. He said within himself, what shall I do? You know, your thought life is very important. All of us have a running conversation that we have with ourselves. And the question is, what do you tell yourself when you talk to yourself, when you talk to yourself? Is that all right? Well, after he got the news that he had to give an account and that he could no longer be in the employ, he had lost his job, he began to think, what am I going to do? The rich fool whose fields exploded with productivity and fertility, he said, what shall I do? I got all this stuff, Sister Johnson. What shall I do? Day of Pentecost, when they heard a soul-stirring, heart-pricking sermon, many of them cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? I must be concerned about my thought life. How do I think? Because the Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Romans 12:3 said, I say among you to every man through the grace of God not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. My thought life, the way I think, is very important. My thinking can get off track. And if my thinking gets off track, my life gets off track. Because you can't think wrong and live right. Is that all right? So my thought life, it's very important. Well, the second thing that we see is what he said. In other words, I'm about to lose my job. If you were facing losing your job, when you think about what you gonna do, because all of us gotta make a living. Is that right? Everybody gotta make a living, and if somebody's gonna take away my income, my revenue, quite naturally, I'm going to think, what in the world am I going to do? Some young men trying to get ahead decide they're going to hustle and sell drugs. Not thinking about it, but selling drugs is a dead end street. Becoming a gang banger is a dead end street. To run with a crowd ain't going nowhere. You got to be careful who you hang out with. You got to be careful who you hook up with. Because who you hook up with can unhook you. Is that all right? So he said, what am I going to do? I'm about to lose my job. Going on inside his head, the rich man had all that stuff. If you came into a whole lot of money, what you going to do? Amen. What am I going to do? That's a great question, isn't it? What am I going to do? What must I do to be saved? What am I going to do? And so he said, look at verse 3. He said, what am I going to do? Because my Lord is taking away my stewardship. The gig is up. I've been robbing him blind. He done found me out. I've been getting over wide. He done found me out. So what am I going to do? Lord have mercy. And whenever you ask, what are you going to do? You better bring the Lord in. Where he can help you to know what you need to do. Is that all right? Well, look at number one. What he would not do. Or could not do. He said, I don't have a job now. How in the world am I going to pay my bills? Just because you lose your job, your bills don't stop. Well, y'all, Alabama Power ain't got no job. So y'all, you let me have my power for free here. Well, we know that doesn't work, does it? Is that all right? Life goes on, is that right? What am I going to do. Well, one thing what he could not do, he said, I cannot dig. Now, in Bible time, there were two ways to make a living. You could work for it or you could beg for it.
Right.
I saw a man on my way to church this morning. Brother Early had a sign, homeless and hungry. Homeless and hungry. And we pray to God we never get in a position we got to beg for a living.
Right.
Is that all right? And we thank God for the blessings of life. And the Bible says you got food and you got clothing and you got a place to stay. It says be content. That doesn't mean you don't try to improve yourself, but if you got food to eat, you got clothes to wear, you got a place to stay, you ought to praise the Lord. Is that all right?
Amen.
Instead of murmuring and complaining, you ought to be praising his glorious name. Amen. He said, well, I don't have a job now. I'm ashamed. And there are some things people won't do because they're ashamed. He said, I can't dig, brother. I can't dig because I don't have the strength. So what am I going to do? I can't work this hard job. I'm not physically able. And some people who have jobs and don't recognize God give you the strength every day to get up out of your bed and go to that job and hold that job down without that job holding you down.
Amen.
Don't even recognize where your blessing coming from. Well, he said, I don't have the strength to dig. And here's the second thing. He said what he would not do, he would not beg.
All
right. So Spurgeon, he said, I'm ashamed to beg. Nobody want to be embarrassed.
Right.
Jesus talked about sitting down counting the cost. A man about to build a tower. He said the first thing you need to do is sit down and see can you afford it.
Yes, sir.
All right? You don't go and make the purchase and afterward figure out if you can afford it. You got the cart before the horse.
Yes,
is that right?
All right?
He said, well, I am ashamed to beg. Brother White, I can't dig. I don't have the strength.
No, sir.
And I'm ashamed. What he could not do, I can't dig. What he would not do, I won't beg.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be on the street begging. I try to have too much self-respect to be on the street begging. I got to try to do something for myself. Does that make sense, y'all? Amen. Well, what? Well, Sister Johnson, well, what did he do? Look at it, y'all. Look at it. Look at verse 4. He said, I'm resolved what to do. In other words, I made up my mind. All right, I got it. I'm about to lose my job. I'm not going to have a job. I got to have money. I'm not going to go out there and rob nobody to get it. I ain't robbing no banks to get it.
Right.
I ain't going to strong arm nobody to get it. So I got to figure out what am I going to. Remember, this man is a crook, y'all. This man is a crook. He's dishonest. And crooks do crooked stuff. Don't be surprised when crooks crook you.
Right.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm resolved what to do. Watch this. When I'm put out of the stewardship, that they may do what? Receive me.
Now, in a book entitled Motivation in the Real World
by Saul Hellerman. He made a powerful point in that book I never forgot. And he said this, never go from somewhere to nowhere. What does that mean? Never quit a job until you got another one lined up. Hello? You never go from somewhere to nowhere.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
That makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it? So he said, this is what I'm going to do. I got to figure out. Somebody got to help me when I lose my job. So this is what I'm going to do, Tina. This is what I'm going to do. Look at it. Look at it.
Y'all still there?
Here's what he said I'm going to do. So he, verse 5, so he called every one of his Lord's debtors.
There were people who owed his master.
And so he called them in. It was two of them he called in. One of them,
he said, look at verse 5. And said unto the first, how much owest thou my Lord? How much do you owe?
He said, look at the next verse. He said, 100 measures of oil. Well, this was olive oil, or 100 or 1,000 gallons of olive oil. He said, how much do you owe? He said, I owe 100. He said, well, write down, look at it. He said, write down, look at this verse. Write down 50. So what has he done? He's reduced the debt, but he cheated to do it. All right? And then he said, look at verse 6, verse 7. Then he said to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. Some scholars think it was 1,000 bushels of wheat. And said unto him, take that bill and write 80. That is, write 80. Amen.
So what has he done? He's done. Now, I'm asking something. If you do somebody a big favor, do you think they do you one?
Yeah. Amen.
You certainly hope so, don't you?
Amen.
I mean, come on, let's be real. We ain't going to be doing folks no favor. They ain't going to do nothing for me.
Right.
Oh, y'all going to keep it real with me?
Yeah. True.
Huh? And I'm not saying we do all of that. I'm not saying that we do everything with the intent of somebody doing something for us.
Right.
But reality is, if someone does something for you that's significant, you feel a sense of obligation or indebtedness to that person.
Right.
So he, job is over, ain't got nowhere to go. I can't dig, I'm ashamed to beg. So what I'm going to do, Brother Rutter, I'm going to cook the books. Y'all know what cooking the books mean? Fraudulent accounting practices.
Right.
Is that all right?
Amen.
I'm going to reduce the debt so that when I get put out, I will have somewhere to go. Huh? It's not so traumatic to lose a job if you got nothing lined up. Come on, y'all.
Right. No, it's true.
But to lose a job and you ain't got nothing lined up, that's stressful. That can be downright traumatic, Jackie.
Yeah.
That'll make you have sleepless nights.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And be drinking whiskey in the morning before 9 o'clock.
Uh-oh.
Come on, y'all. Is that all right? So now watch this as we conclude it. So now the master, look at the next verse. The master, verse 8. Then the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. And he was wise in this. He was going to be put out. And he made sure, Yvonne, he had somewhere to go when he got put out. Can I apply? One day, I'm going to be put out of this world. I'm going to receive an eviction notice. Hello? My dad lived in this world 73 years, and one day he got put out. My mama lived 75 years. And one day, she had to leave this world. And that lets me know that one day, you're going to have to lead it. Now, the question is, when you get put out, where are you going to have to go? Who who's going to receive you into their house? Because ain't, from what I heard, it ain't but two places to go, what I heard now. It's just two houses you go to. Y'all all right? And those two houses are hell or heaven. Now my question is, what you gonna do to make sure you go to the right house? Is that all right? So he commended, even though he was a crook, y'all, he was wise. In that, Jay, he did some things to make sure that when it was all over, here's the thing about life, you could be put out at any moment without warning, without notice. Young folks die. Pretty folks die. Rich folks die. Poor people die. Is that right? So now watch this. So the master commended the unjust steward. He said because, watch this, he was shrewd. You know what shrewd means? Shrewd means having insight to deal with people and circumstances. You got to be shrewd in this life. You got to know how to deal with life. You got to know how to deal with people in this world. Is that right? Can I give you some, as we conclude, can I give you some life lessons that comes out of this? May I give you some life lessons?
Bring it
out. Number one, this man, even though he was a crook, Brother Wyatt, he was wise in that he faced the truth. Now, some people are living this world, but they ain't facing the truth. You got to face the truth about your life. Amen? He didn't walk around under an illusion or a delusion. He faced the truth. What is the truth about your life? Where are you? How are you doing? Where are you going? If you keep doing what you're doing right now, in 3 years, where will you be? He faced the truth. The Lord commended him because when he was put out, he had somewhere to go. The second thing he did was he secured his future and his interests. Now I want to ask you a question. Are you living in such a way you are securing your future and your interests? Amen. Because he knew, he said, what am I going to do? I can't dig. I'm ashamed to beg. So I got to figure out. I don't want to go to hell, y'all. So I got to figure out a way to make sure that I don't go to hell. I don't want to catch hell and die and go to hell. That's a double whammy. Is that all right? When I leave here, I want it to be all right. Amen. So he secured his future and his interest. Third thing he did, he had foresight. He was willing to look down the road. You got to look down the road. If I keep doing what I'm doing, and I keep saying I'm gonna get it together, I know what I need to do. If I keep doing what I'm doing, where am I gonna wind up?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So he had, Peter said, those who can't see afar off have spiritual myopia. They can't look down the road. Here's a fourth thing. This really gets deep. He said the children of this world are wiser than the children of light in their generation. What does that mean? Let me explain it. The children of this world are the people who love the world, who have conformed to the world, who live for the world. They don't think about God. They don't go to church. They don't pray. They don't read a Bible. They live only for the world. And unfortunately, there are some people in the kingdom of God who live mainly for the world. They're more concerned about their jobs, going to work, but neglect the spiritual dimension.
Wow.
The people in the world, they make sure they got plenty of money. Hello, y'all.
Yeah.
They live, they know the latest trends and development, economic trends and developments.
Yes,
they are wiser. They handle their business a whole lot better than people in the kingdom. The children of light are Christians. He said they are wiser. Even though this man was a crook, y'all.
Yeah.
He was a crook. He said, ain't nowhere in the world I'm going to lose my gig and ain't got nowhere to go. Y'all hearing that? Ain't nowhere in the world I'm going to die in my sin. I ain't going to do that. Ain't about to die in my sin. Huh? Well, guess what? If you live in them, you mess around and die in them. And you can't die in them until you're living in them. One thing somebody said, you never have to take back words you never said. Huh? And you never have to apologize for a place you never been.
Look out, man.
That makes sense?
Right.
And so the children of light, or rather of the world, look at how the folks in the world go about their business. Man, they are working 8 hours a week. And yet you have some folks in the kingdom get mad by 2 hours in church.
Out,
oh! So my mom said 12 hours. Now get up early. Oh, Lord. What time you got to be here? Child, I got to be there at 6:30. Child, what time you got to be at church? Well, whenever I get there.
All right.
Oh! I'm telling you that they handle. Well, how many would go to work sporadically?
I'll make a point, preacher.
Oh, y'all in here in this.
I ain't
coming today. How come I don't feel like it?
Uh-huh. That won't work.
But yet when it comes down to the things of the soul, I come to church once a month, twice a month. The children of this world are wiser. They live for the world. They live for the world.
Yeah.
They have conformed to the world.
Yeah.
They love the world.
Amen.
My Bible tells me, love not the world.
Come on,
my Bible tells me, be not conformed to this world. My Bible tells me, seek ye first, that thief said, I got to handle my business.
Yeah.
Now here's another thing. Watch this. Another lesson is, if you are faithful in a little, you'll be faithful in a lot. Sometimes we get it twisted. Like Cupcake Timmy, don't get it twisted. Thank you, Cupcake. We think, if you give a man greater responsibility, he'll do better. No. The process is, if he is faithful in a little, then you can trust him to be faithful in a lot. That right?
Yeah.
It also say, if a man is dishonest with a little money, what make you think he's going to be honest with a whole heap of it? Is that all right?
Amen.
The more he get, the more he got to steal. The more he got to cheat, the more he got to swindle. Is that right?
Amen.
And then, finally, let me tell you this. And then he said, if you don't handle the real riches? Do you care more about your money than you care about this?
Come on, preacher, help us out.
How many folks take real good care of their money? Come on, y'all. But do you know this is more valuable than, now money is important. Money is valuable. We got to have it. As the old Jay said, I really need it. Money, 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 money. Is that all right? But did you not know that this is more important than money? Money is important. We ain't denying that. But the Bible say, if you can't handle the unrighteous mammon. Now, what he said, as we conclude, he said, make friends of the unrighteous mammon. How do you do that? Use your money in a way you will secure your future. Well, how do you do it? You do it by helping the poor.
All right, preacher.
You do it by supporting the gospel.
Yeah.
You do it by doing good things with your money. He said, make friends with the mammon of unrighteousness so that when you fail, when you die, Jesus said, lay up for yourself.
That's it, preacher.
What? Treasures where? The question is, am I doing that?
Come on now, help us, preacher.
How many every month when you get your money, you try to save a little?
All right.
So I ain't telling you that, Brother Moses. That ain't your business. I accept that. I try to lay some aside, right? Well, he said, lay up for yourselves what?
Treasures.
So when you fail, when you die, you have a place to go. Amen. Lord, I want a place to go. Is that right? So can't we learn a lesson from this crook? Can't we learn a lesson from swindlers and cheaters and beaters? Can't we? Isn't that important? Life lessons in strange places. But aren't you glad this one that a great teacher has come into the world? How many can say this morning, teach me, Lord.
Teach me. Lord.
Teach me. Well, Nicodemus came to him. Said unto him, Rabbi, I know you are a great teacher come from God. Because no man can do the miracles that you're doing unless God is with them. Is that all right? Oh yeah, Brother Harris, he is a great teacher. And he's still speaking today. The Bible says in Hebrews 1, God, who in sundry times and divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, by whom he made the world, and he is the heir of all things. God is still saying as he thunders from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Do what? Hear ye him. Is that all right? And his voice keeps coming down through the centuries. And he's teaching and he's preaching and he's saying, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses soul? Is that all right? He's still preaching and he's still teaching and saying, what would you give in exchange for your soul? Is that all right? He's still preaching and he's still teaching. Is that all right? And he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Is that all right? He's still preaching and he's still teaching. He said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Is that all right? But these cannot break through and steal. Is that all right? I tell you, he's still teaching and he's still preaching. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is that all right? He's still teaching and he's still preaching. Is that all right? And he said, whosoever hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will compare him to a man that built his house upon a rock. Is that all right? Well, torrential rains descended, sweeping, swirling flood waters rose. Is that all right? Angry winds blew, but it stood.
Yes, sir, preacher.
Because it was founded on a rock.
Yes, sir.
And they that are of truth.
Come on now.
Hear the voice of Jesus. And Jesus said, make friends with money so that when you die, you'll have somewhere to go. And I'm not going to live forever.
Amen.
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 God has allowed me to live in this world 60 years.
Amen.
Ain't that wonderful? 60 years. That the songs that never would have made it.
All right.
Now, I don't know whether I got 60 more.
Yeah,
huh? Yeah. But I know one thing, Brother Lance. When I get put out,
right.
Amen.
Right.
I mean, I got somewhere for them to bury in my body. I done already handled that. Huh? Oh, I done paid for all the graves. So when it's all over, Sister John, let's take him on down there and throw him in that hole over there.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
But what about my soul? Where will I go for my soul? Amen.
Amen.
Because one day it's going to be over. So that's the message this morning, beloved. I hope this message will challenge you to learn life lessons. Live in such a way that you won't have to have regrets. Amen.
Amen.
And maybe you can't fix your life today, but you can at least start today. If you're not saved today, you can get saved today. If you need restoration today, you can get restoration today. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Well, how do I get saved? By believing the gospel. Christ died for your sins, was buried, resurrected for your justification, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, being immersed, baptized in water. Well, how can I be restored? Repent, confess, and pray. Repent, confess, and pray.
Yes, sir.
Repent, confess, and pray. Amen. And you ask yourself, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with this invitation? Do I need this invitation? Do I need to ask the church to pray for me? Do I need to confess my sin? Do I need to be baptized today? What am I going to do? That's important, isn't it? To ask yourself, what you going to do? Amen. So we want to extend the Lord's invitation. If you're here today and can be responsive, come right now as we're saying, I keep falling over,
over,
now I keep
falling over,
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 now he gets. Oh, what a love. I keep falling in love with him over. Oh.